Go ahead.
Alright, meeting reconvened at 8:29, and we are on item 17, the end of your budget summary.
Yes, I will go over this one. I believe we have a presentation I think on there.
Yes, in just a minute here.
So I'll go through the staff report. I'll go through the staff report real quick, and then we'll kind of walk through this. This did go to budget and admin at the last board meeting, and I'll let them comment on anything that they had from that. But at any rate, this is for final fiscal year 24-25, the budget was adopted on August 24. Let's see. This report can outline some of the changes that we've talked about. So the financial summary, the revised financial outlook indicates the total revenues are expected to fall below the final budget, while expenditure reductions and grant income have improved the district's net financial position. This revised projected deficit of $278,502 represents an improvement from the original budgeted deficit of $578,132. The actuals through the current reporting period show a net surplus of $1.3 million, and that's due to timing and cost containment efforts. I will tell you a large portion of that change in the, I even hate the term budget deficit, but that's what it was, had a lot to do with the Cal Fire contract and how that's coming in. I think you will see, I don't think you will see, as we continue to build the 26 budget, we will be budgeting that component differently, so we don't have these large swings every single year.
Can you explain that surplus?
I will have to. I'll talk to Christina on that one and get her. This is her report, but I will talk to her on that one and get specifics for you. But right now, I cannot. Let's see. So some of the key components that you're going to see as we walk through this, and we'll go to that first slide there, Nikki. So the revenue overview, so the final budget was $6.7 million, the projected actual is $6.69, so the shortfall is $64,532, and so this is just looking at actuals. Now understand that this is not the final, this is just kind of where we're at today, so there are still some swings that could potentially occur just based on how the actuals finish up at the end of the year. Next slide. Some of the key shortfalls. Clearly, the late entry fees, we all know about that. As we struggle to get that activated, we're looking now at a June 1, looking back at Mark here soon, June 1. So, you know, obviously, that's revenue that we will not capture because we just won't have it in service for that period of time. So that was a decrease. Pool rentals were down, and that's for you know, a number of reasons. One, primarily to a couple of shutdowns that we've had to have with respect to just the equipment. But that was a small part. The bigger piece really is, I think we need to do a better job in budgeting what that looks like. And so we've already established that process. It was more of a swag from the previous year. We're now looking at that holistically to say, hey, what do we really think that we can bring in? The other piece is being short one person. That has it's hurt us as well. And just be getting out there and making sure we can get the pool rented, making sure we're doing the advertising, the marketing, and those kinds of things. Is really tied to the recreation program revenue as well, which is down $44,000. That, I think, was a little bit aggressive on the budgeting from last year, so that's why you see a significant change. Again, that's also associated with one person down for a period of time. If you don't have you know, your recreation folks, it's hard to get out there and put on additional classes. So I think you'll see a big change in the 26 budget year. We're going to be a little bit more conservative based on 5 years. Data looking back, and that's how we're going to be budgeting moving forward, actual data, not budgeting.
It'd be helpful to see what pool rentals of, you know, previous years.
Yes,
very good.
And you will see that in the new budget. You'll see that. We're going back as far as we can, but in the budget, you'll see probably 5 years of data.
Excellent. Thank you for that report.
Your sponsorships and donations, again, those are down $30,000. And again, a lot of this, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, a lot of it is just looking at how we have budgeted in the past and how we're going to budget in the future. Next slide. Fire apparatus rental up $93,200. We met with the fire department the other day, had a really good meeting, and we're just trying to do a better job when communicating with each each other. Some of this has to do with when the actual revenue was generated versus when it actually hits the books or we actually get the check. And so we're still reconciling what that's going to look like, what the, how that process is going to look like going down the road. But we were positive, and I think this year we're projecting a little bit higher. We're also going to be looking at five-year look back as well. We budget for that, and working with our fire partners is not going to be a swag anymore. It's really going to be based on our historical data is how we're going to budget. The grant, you know, $105,000, that was for the audio-video equipment. That was AQMD grant. We did receive that check, and so that was the positive portion there. And then sport field rentals, those are up to $10,200. Our recreation team does an amazing job in getting those out there. We are going to be working through our MOUs to address, you know, some of the challenges. I think we're behind a little bit, and I think we're generous on how we're allowing the use without getting the associated revenue. And so we'll be working on new MOUs next year, and obviously our parks facility does a great job in keeping that up. Go back one more minute. Oh, well, you're staying.
Yeah.
Trick me.
Sorry, I bumped it. Sorry.
Parkside rentals. We really don't rent anything park-wise other than the pavilion
at the lake.
And so even that, we just have to do a better job marketing that. I don't think a lot of people know that they can. And then the other piece is, if you go out there and just use it, we don't even know about it. And so that's just one of the things we need to look at and clean that up when we talk about fees. Next slide, please. Significant overages, capital equipment expenses. And Mark, I'll look back. Can you help me out on that one?
That was the AV system that we had to
thank you. That's right. And so the offset is $105,000 on that one. I know we do have a couple things that are trending higher. One of the ones, and the board already knows, is we've had a fire engine that we're repairing, and that's gonna hit us a little bit higher than we anticipated. But we saved money with Cal Fire assisting us in getting the rig back up there. But there has been some, I won't call them surprises, but things we just didn't anticipate there. Legal services is up by $48,000. That's not Ryan's fault. He's been here.
That's the cost of it.
I need
you.
Right. So that I think the board understands. We've had some significant legal challenges and issues that we're working through. So that's why I do anticipate that going down. We've had some of those major issues have been taken care of, and so I'm hoping that's going to go down. Auditing and accounting, that is all roped into. Obviously, we were down several audits. That's going to take some time to get that back. With the 22-23 being done, the 23-24 getting close to being done at the end of June, like we promised, that'll get us back down on cycle, and that number should go back down to our normal right around $10,000 to $15,000. Professional services is up, and that just had to do with we had a number of agreements or contracts with respect to the fire annexation look and those kinds of things. That number, I would like to say it's going to go down, but it probably won't because we have a number of studies that we need to do. So when you look at the Nexus study, our fee study, our fire first responder fee, we're going to have to look at that. There's some challenges there. That's probably going to go up a little bit more because there are a number of studies that we need to have for the next year, but that's where we're at today. Next slide. Significant savings, we talked about it already. Cal Fire contract, $605,904. And again, this is our projected. So we still need to wait to see what fourth quarter finally comes in and looks at, but that's where we're at today. As you see that really big number, I can tell you that you will not see a really big number like that moving forward, and that has no reflection on Cal Fire and what they're doing budget-wise. That has everything to do with how we are looking at the budget. We are budgeting as close to actuals as we can. So again, we're going to look back 5 years, and that's what we're going to budget on. What you see here is what we've done traditionally, and that's budgeting on the do not exceed amount. That doesn't make sense because when we go back and look, we've never been even remotely close to that. And so we've had these big yo-yo experiences in the budget. We're trying to eliminate that. Healthcare costs. That's a significant savings. I think that just has to do with the number of employees. We're not fully staffed. I think we're authorized for 17, we're at 13. So that has obviously an appreciable difference there, and I certainly help with that too. You're welcome. staff development is also there's a saving. We need to go back to that. A lot of that has to do with being short with people. We have everybody working. There hasn't been that time. Fuel and utilities, that's down to 21,000 again. Mark, a little effect to you on that one.
We've gone from 6 operational vehicles down to 3. I mean, we've got staff of 3 full-time on the park side. We used to have 6. Everybody had a truck and everybody was driving around. So the majority of that is utility vehicles.
And then we'll look, you'll look at budgeting on that one as well. So net position, the budget deficit, 574, 132. The projected deficit now is negative 278. I know we should all be jumping up and down and being happy about that, but please understand that that is a structural deficit. We have to change that. And so this year, with the level or the number of employees that we have, some of the changes that we are making, the changes with how we are budgeting fire-wise, I'm hoping that we're going to be a balanced budget. If not, have a smaller deficit, and then next year we can't stand for that. We'll have to start cutting services, would be my recommendation. Next slide. So the summary, like you said, I think we already hit this pretty hard and heavy. Go to the next one. And this is obvious. Everybody knows this, but in the board's initiative to be transparent, more transparent, I just want to put that on there. So when you look at where we're coming in, a big portion of that's going to be the $150,000 is going to be for the severance package and settlement agreement package for the previous general manager. And so clearly that will not hit the budget next year. And so we're hoping for a much better budget picture. Had we not had that, we'd be sitting really good right now. So I just want to highlight that.
How are you just use words to express where that was, but is that something that public has a right to know? The $150,000.
That was public.
Is it? Okay.
Yes, that was public coming out of that.
Okay.
So, yeah. With that, I'll stop because I'm not Christina. I'm just presenting for her tonight. I'll answer any questions you might have.
Questions to my left.
So how much is in our general fund? Do you have that?
I don't have that right in front of me. However, in your budget, that should be in there. You'll see that.
Yeah,
you're talking about our fund balance.
Our fund balance.
I'll run a cash report and I can get that to you.
Yeah. Just in general, it's nice when you run a deficit. I guess I care more when you run a deficit because I want to know where that deficit is coming from because we got to pay it anyway. So it's kind of nice to have a fund balance.
Gotcha.
So like all the other CC&R, that's going to be my same question. The fund balance.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I guess I'm asking it the same way, reserves.
Yes.
So is fund balance what we're calling reserves because we, or do we actually have reserves or is there a category where we're holding in a reserve slot?
So this has been the hot button issue since I've been here. I can tell you that today that's fuzzy cloudy. And I can tell you that what we're proposing is to officially establish reserve funds. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to fully fund them because we just don't have the revenue to do that. However, we're working with our consultant to officially establish several funds. I won't do a spoiler alert, but there'll be several different funds that cover fire, deferred maintenance, capital reserve, all those things. That's what we're going to be proposing as part of the 26 budget.
Did we use up all of the funding that we received from the warranty money on this building?
I believe there's still some funds left in there. I'll look back to Mark. I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah.
I believe there's still funds in there. I want to say $18,000 comes to mind, so I'll double check.
Yeah. So those earmarked to be spent on any of these repairs or deficits and capital expenses that we have?
So we're looking for those creative ways. Clearly you have a couple. There's a big one, obviously. The pool pump, I think, was around $18,000.
Pool pump, if that is... Those funds could be used, then they would cover most of the cost of that pool pump. There'll be some additional for the installation. The pump in and of itself is very expensive.
So you'll come forward with some
accounting
of what we're doing with that fund?
Yes, so one, what the balance is in that fund, and two, what we're using funds for.
Yeah.
So, our solar system at some point was supposed to be producing a profit for us, where are we with that? Because I don't ever see anything on that.
So I would say this. I would say I'll make a statement, and then we're going to just need time. That is something that we will prioritize to do an analysis on for you. I can tell you that, and we'll work with Brian with his help, we've not been able to get a hold of the company. And they haven't cashed, I think, one or two of the checks. I've reached out to the CEO.
They haven't cashed?
Yeah, one or two of the checks. We can't get a hold of anybody. We're trying to get more information so we can do an analysis on where we're at. I've read the agreement. We are in year 1, 2, 3, I think year 3.5, 4. It's a 25-year agreement. It looks to be a rock-solid agreement. I'll work again with Brian. If there's a way for us to get out of that, that would be my recommendation. In looking at what we pay, I'm not sure we're getting what we should be getting. I think we're budgeting $80,000 for that, and we've got solar everywhere. It doesn't make sense to me. That's why we're trying to get a hold of the company to get some more transparency.
And there's companies that do audits. PG&E audits, company audits that will go and help you do that to make sure that we're being charged what we're supposed to be charged, and they do the deep dive.
Unfortunately, we did sign a PPA, and a lot of those you pay on what you produce. And so the reason why I want to get a hold of them is if we're paying for what we are producing, we have a lot of solar between our facilities, and I just don't.
We also have it on the fire station.
That's
on 89.
Yeah.
Not just
yeah.
here.
Yeah, exactly. But with a bill that high, I don't know that we're getting what we should be getting. $80,000 is a lot to have as much solar that we have. We don't use that much power.
Do we?
Basically, they're netting out, and you owe after all of the production, you still owe $80,000.
Yeah, so there's $80,000 that we're paying directly in addition to what we're paying monthly for the lease of the equipment. Yeah.
But we had a buyout.
We know. The buyout, we're in year four. The buyout is $750,000 right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I said we need to get a hold of the company, look at that. If there's a way for us to, file that they're breaching, since we have zero communication, but they're also not cashing the last check. So then we need to look at that a little bit more.
Wow.
Yeah. We can't. Literally, it's black. We can't get a hold of anybody.
That's been 13 years. I think they've been cashing checks, but we haven't. Yeah. The last two general managers haven't been
to
go get
more good skills. Well, we will. We got a good attorney here now. I think we'll take
it away.
Good, we're going to need your help.
All right. More questions to my right.
No.
Tim?
No questions.
Katie, did you have any questions? Hey, you're muted.
It's really windy there, too.
Yeah.
If you believe that, I have a bridge.
Oh, is that real?
Yeah.
You want to text me, Katie?
I don't have a comment. The public has a comment when it's time, but I don't have a comment.
Okay.
Well, I got my questions all out in B of A, so does the public want to make his comments?
Aloha. I'm sorry, I'm prepping for fish that I caught. Anyway, so, General Manager Johnson, I was the project manager for Cameron Park Country Club when they implemented solar. And relative to, and I don't know the details of what you have, but Cameron Park Country Club has not received responses from the purveyor, and it sounds similar to what you're incurring. So I think a dialogue with the general manager for Cameron Park Country Club might be a good thing to do as far as understanding or trying to say, hey, we have these billing issues, charge issues, as much as what you're going to get back in rates. And so I think there could be some synergies there for the community. That's it.
Thank you for that. We'll reach out.
Okay. Any comments on the mid-year budget review? Brad?
Yeah, let me know where they're supposed to be, and I'll go.
Well, more of a committee.
That's what I'm saying. I'm serious. I've never experienced anything like this.
No potential liability.
I'm not for sure if we didn't pay them that they'd contact us, but if they're not cashing our checks, then...
That's not usually a good sign. Everybody's always willing to cash.
Right. Well, and they skip. So the last one they cashed, but I think there's one in November, and there's another recent one they have not even cashed. So we're going to get to a point before that check expires. I can't reach out to them to tell them, hey, you better cash that check. So we got to figure that out.
Okay. All right. If there's no further public comment, I will bring it back to the board. Do we have? And this is just... a presentation, so
yes.
Any further comments or okay,
nope.
No comments. Then we will go to item 18 and open the public hearing and second reading of the proposed weed abatement ordinance.
Yes, Sue. I don't know how much you want me to go back over again on that one. We did do the first reading.
Were there changes?
Revised ordinance, key factors. So we just again we expanded and clarified the definitions, but that's exactly what it was the last time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is simply the second reading before we take a look at questions.
Questions from the board, Katie? You got anything?
I'm good.
Okay, Tim?
Nope.
I've got nothing. We covered it in B of A. do we have any public comment about the weed abatement ordinance? Yes.
Rather than Homer Cameron Park, I support it. Make it happen.
All right, thank you. So, bringing it back, any further comment before I close the public hearing? Hearing nothing, I close the public hearing. Do we have a motion?
So, do we have to approve it because it's the second reading?
Yeah. This one is your approval this time. The first one was your first reading. This is your second reading and approval.
So I move that we approve the second of the proposed revision to 2025.05.21 weed abatement ordinance with an approval of the summary of ordinance 2025.05.21.
And waive the reading.
And waive the reading. Thank you.
Awesome. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. Then we need a roll call on this.
We do need a roll call on this.
Okay. Director Scobie?
Aye.
Director Wolfson?
Aye.
Director Bazette?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Gilchrist?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. And we are moving on to item 19, approved resolution 2025-7. Yes, we did. We are on item 20, second reading of revisions of bylaws, Article 2, Section
2.1. So this will, it's not necessarily a reading. I didn't catch that one. It's really the second time. So the way this works is when we're going to do a change to the bylaws, is you present it at a board meeting, and then at the next board meeting, that's when you vote. So we just have to publish that. The board members have to have that at least 72 hours in advance of the meeting to review what the potential revisions are. And so this is kind of a second reading, but you will actually be voting to approve the changes or the revisions to the bylaws, Article 2, Section 2.1. And if you'd like, I can go over that again or not.
So we have to do it this way because it's a bylaw and not a policy.
And even policies have some specific language on how you do it as well. They're very similar. And so we did research on both bylaws and the policies. For the bylaw specifically, it comes to your first meeting, and then the next meeting you could go and it goes.
Did anyone see Dodgeball? What's a bylaw?
No, we are going with that one.
It's nine. I have no questions.
I have no Nothing. Any questions?
No questions.
Tim, Katie?
The only thing I see in here is there is a closed session language, so mm-hmm. it suggests we'll be doing it before the open sessions.
Yeah, and Tim, thanks for that. I forgot you were not here, so yeah. Thank you for that. So the intent behind this is that the board made it clear they didn't want the community waiting mm-hmm. during closed session. The way the bylaws were written, it did not give us the ability to do that. It said the meeting starts at 6:30. We had it at 6:30.
Right.
What we were attempting to do here with this bylaw change is that if a closed session is needed, then the board president will let us know that, and then we'll simply start we'll start that session earlier. The start of the meeting, that time will not change. It will be the 6:30. But if you have a long closed session, then perhaps that will start at 5:30.
Okay.
Or short one, that will start.
All right. So we're going to do that moving forward.
Yeah. If it's approved tonight, that's the intent. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any public comment on that particular bylaw? Bringing it back to the board. So do we have a motion on this one?
I will approve I move that we approve the second reading of revisions to bylaws, Article 2, Section 2.1.
Do we have
and we waive the reading of it.
Waive the reading. Okay. Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And we need another roll call. Yes.
We do. Any bylaw changes required? Is it just as a reminder?
Okay.
Okay.
Director Scobie.
Aye.
Director Wilson.
Aye.
Director Bazette.
Aye.
Director Israel.
Aye.
And Director Gilchrist.
Aye.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Okay, moving to item 21, discuss and establish community development ad hoc committee.
Okay, so I'll kick that off and I'll look to Mark to add anything and either fill any of the gaps. So Mark and I met with LAFCO and we identified that we do have some areas within the district that fall in our SOI, our sphere of influence. And there's actually building happening right now in those areas, and unfortunately we have not annexed them into the district, nor have we put in a condition of approval when these entitlements are done. So what we've done in the past down the hill is it's part of the conditions of approval. What they indicated was that that's done on public safety, on fire, and LAFCO's kind of not looked at that on the park side. So the area that we're talking about specifically is in our CSD Parks and Rec SOI, not fire. That falls in another fire district, and so that's likely how that was missed, but we need to do a better job, and our team is putting some protections in place to make sure that when these entitlements come through, that could be 20 years back, that we have a condition of approval, which is automatic. So that is written directly into the development agreement that basically states that if this is approved, you have to annex into the district. That would rectify this. As it stands today, and we've verified that the homes that are being built there now or have been built, we can get a portion of the future, but we've already missed the boat. And so that is what it is. They are building a number of homes or starting to. They're creating some of the area. The area we're talking about is off Silver Springs. They're getting ready to open up another phase. I don't know if we're going to be able to catch that one, but we're working with LAFCO to make sure that we're able to get in there and do that. The other project is Town and Country Village of El Dorado. That's the project going here at Highway 50 and Bass Lake. Clearly there's some things that we need to ask to mitigate the impacts to the Community Services District by that project in the way of additional folks visiting our facilities. When you look at all the reports, it really talks about not necessarily our parks, but the specialized amenities. This would be one of those. We've got the large hall, we've got the pool, we've got the gym. This is one of those. So we need to be able to sit down with them, with members of the board, to discuss how are we going to mitigate that impact. We can't necessarily be a part of the development agreement. However, a lot of these developers are anxious to get their projects approved, and we just want to make sure that we're at the trough to say, hey, we're going to scream loud, we're going to scream early unless our impacts are addressed. Finally, Lime Rock specific plan, Marble Valley specific plan, those two projects down there. We met, Mark and I met with the project developers, and they have encouraged us to work with El Dorado Hills CSD to come up with some kind of agreement. What that looks like, I don't know yet, but I think we need to put some two-by-twos together so we can start having those conversations. I can tell you that there's clearly an impact on our community. The Marble Valley project is 100% in the, not even in the sphere of influence, it's in the El Dorado Hills CSD. Lime Rock plan or project is in no man's land. So we have the ability to annex that. Should we consider that? Mark and I are doing an analysis on that to see if that makes sense. The other complicating factor, and this is why I think we need to establish an ad hoc, is that as El Dorado Hills continues to go down the cityhood process, it's interesting that the Marble Valley project is not in the city boundaries. The map, the initial map that they're talking about, there's some politics, I think, at play there. So I'll leave it at that. But at any rate, that's our recommendation to establish an ad hoc where we can all sit down. It is time sensitive. I think we need to provide some responses back to the draft EIRs that are out there. And I think we also need to sit down with El Dorado Hills CSD. And I think we need to talk to the other two projects to start to move that forward. So in the spirit of transparency, I'd like some board members to be involved with those conversations.
So what about an ad hoc committee?
Well, I'm sorry.
You're proposing an ad hoc
committee? I'm proposing an ad hoc committee. I left it generic. That's why we called it a development ad hoc. So when these projects go away, then the ad hocs could go away. But it's not just one project. It's multiple. I know we're going to have these issues over near Rasmussen over there. I know we're going to have these issues. We continue to have them up to our north area. And there's some things that we need to talk about to the south of us as well. So I think we just put one committee together. And then we also need to talk about getting the LAFCO to have a study done to annex any of our islands and, or those areas, annex them into the district. If they're not going to have it as a condition of approval, we should just annex them now because as it stands right now, we're responsible to respond there and they use our facilities. Our fire department goes to some of the areas, but we get no revenue. It all goes to the county right now.
Questions?
No, I'm very supportive.
I think it's a great idea.
Katie?
Yeah, I'm in support. I think it's a great idea. It's definitely something we need to do. And I would be willing to be on the committee if anyone is.
You had mentioned that there was some sort of mechanism where we would be automatically contacted or what is that?
Yeah, so now there's nothing at all right now. What fire departments traditionally have done, because it falls under public safety, LAFCO, that's part of the LAFCO process. When LAFCO looks at developments, when the development agreements are built, the fire departments are called in. And then, so you look at down the hill, there's an area called EDH 52. That's in the district sphere of influence. They have not annexed it because there's nothing there yet. However, before it's approved, they have to annex the area, and the builder's got to pay for that.
So if LAFCO, we need to get our foot in the door with LAFCO that we would be contacted when these building developments go in?
Yeah, so I think Mark and I are already on the list to know when developments are coming, so it's called that committee, and so we get kind of the pre-notice of those. I don't think we have participated the way we should have participated
Absolutely.
In the past. So
yes.
We're tied in. We'll get that now. The other piece, we're just going to have to work with LAFCO to say, hey, you know, how do we move this going forward? And then there's nothing retroactively. You're not going to recover those funds. We can only work on the future. So if we annex it into the district, you'll get a portion of that future revenue. So that's what we'll get, and only for parks.
So my concern is how we protect the district so that we're always notified. Because as you see, historically, we just get steamrolled, left out, ignored.
Yeah.
How do we make sure that after you leave, the next GM, and this doesn't happen anymore?
So I think the protections that we're putting in place, Mark and I are working very closely with the county, with LAFCO, with the auditor controller. I think we're trying to document everything so we have a plan. But that also falls on the board, too, to make sure that you're asking those questions to the next GM is, are we going to those TAC meetings? That's what they're called, technical
advisory committee.
meetings. And so that's when you get the early look at these projects, and a lot of those projects never even come to fruition. The other one that we can do is with the fire department. I know they are definitely part of that, but if it's just CSD related and it's not in the fire portion, we might not know about that. So the short answer is we're going to develop a process, and that'll be a good script for the next GM.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry if I could please elaborate a little bit. So in my history, because in Illinois, it doesn't have a planning department, we don't have that function here. But I've taken all my subscriptions with county planning. You know, I'm getting notices almost on a daily basis of all the things that are going on. You may be surprised or not surprised about how many conversations happen up at the county that all of a sudden they rear their head and you're already too late. So wow. The more we stay on mailing lists, and I get notices for anything. I'm getting a lot of stuff, but you have to do that, because without the staff for planning, we got to get these notices. And so what we've learned, even in El Dorado Hills with that department, is, well, you can't blink. You've got to be there for a lot of these meetings, just because things happen, and then next thing you hear is it's on the agenda, and they're booked on a project, and you even haven't had time to provide input for it.
Yeah, we have to be, Mark is spot on. You know, we're attending those meetings. They've canceled a lot of them lately. But we have to keep our eyes on that, otherwise we will get left behind. The other part is when the projects are further down the line, like the two that we're talking about, when those draft EIRs come out, we need to be commenting on those, and Mark and I are looking at those. The other thing that happens, it's called an FIA, a financial impact analysis. Those come out early, and we absolutely get to weigh in on those. So we've looked at the FIAs for both projects down south, and you can have a pretty good idea, because a third-party consultant does it, not the developer, what the revenue stream looks like, both the initial and then the ongoing revenue. And then it goes so far as to look at your expenses and tell you what your net revenue is as well. So we just need to jot all that down and make sure we have a binder. And then the board, should be a committee that we're bringing back and forth as we need it, but the board should be educated on that process as well.
Okay. Any way to get on those FIA that's going to be part FIA list that's going to be part of the
process?
There's
not necessarily an FIA list. It'll go to the general manager or fire chief or executive director of the entities affected. They'll get that FIA document. The developers are usually really, really good about, hey, I really need your comments. Mm-hmm. But we just need to make sure that we go to these meetings and we're looking.
Okay.
Okay, public comment about this. Yes.
Reverend Paul and Cameron Park, did I understand you saying that it's possible to annex Lime Rock?
It is absolutely a possibility. Like I said, Mark and I met with LAFCO, and I just wanted to know, hey, has it been a given? I knew it hadn't, but is that a possibility? I've heard a lot, would we even be considered? And the answer was absolutely. And so you have to show your ability to provide the services, and clearly there's a funding stream there. But I can't make that recommendation to you tonight, because Mark and I need to look at that a little bit better. Because remember, there's revenue, but there's also associated expenses in building parks, maintaining parks, and those kind of things. And we just don't know if one of them makes sense. Both of them together, 100% makes sense. One of them, the smaller one, I'm not sure that makes sense yet.
Okay, anybody else?
Well, I have part B.
Sure.
My understanding is it's not contiguous to the district. Correct. Because Cameron Estates sits between them.
Yes.
So can we actually annex and not have a contiguous border?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, there's no rule or law that says that you can't. I know it's frowned upon, but I can tell you specifically that there are agencies in this county that have islands. And
okay.
We've got one right next to us. There's an island right in the center of us, and LAFCO has approved those in the past.
Okay.
They like to have them contiguous, but then they also look at the ability to provide the services, and I think that's going to weigh more.
Thank you. Okay, so bringing it back to the board, and I guess this is sort of at my discretion.
This is your discretion. I'm looking at you.
So we have one volunteer. Do we have anybody else? Okay, and do we have someone who would be willing to be the backup person?
I'd be willing to be the backup person.
Okay, well then I would agree to. Do we need to vote to create the ad hoc?
You as president, you
okay.
Tell me who you want.
All right, then I appoint Katie and Tim as committee members and Sid as the backup. All right, moving on to item number 22.
Rolling now.
CCNR mid-year budget.
Okay, again, I'm the fill-in for this one tonight. The final budget was adopted August 24. During the deliberations, the board of directors instructed staff to maintain full-time staffing levels. However, while approving the budget, the board did not restore the previously reduced funding in the CCNR department. The following data is to inform the board about the mid-year adjustments for the 24-25 community CCNR fund. The revised 24-25 final budget for CCNR fund reflects the adjustments made in response to the updated revenue projections and the operational needs. These changes reflect the increase of certain revenue categories and updates expenditure estimates based on current trends. So when you look at your ARC fees, the final was 26. We're revising that up to 31, which is good. The change is $5,000. Total operating revenue the final budget was 109,300. We're revising that by that same number, the 114,300 of $5,000. Expenditures, and this is where you see some of the other changes. Salaries and permanent, your revised final is going to be up, and that just reflects the change that the board made, and we didn't flop that back. So that's what that is. I think the board also removed the benefits from that during that time, and so that's where you see in the $13,721 there. The other ones are pretty de minimis with respect to changes, but there are some changes. The FICA Medicare, the advertising and marketing, that's one of the ones we'll be looking at. I'm not sure we need to put a number in all the budgets, which I think we've done a little bit of. Computer software, you're likely going to see a little bit of a spike, and then you'll see it flat for a number of years, and that just has to do with us relocating the CCNR officer from here over to the fire station, station 89. Solar, there's a change there, and again, we're going to have to look at that, and that's just one of those things. The total expenditure is 102,550, and going to the revised final 138,437, which is primarily due to the staffing benefits and things that we took last time that we didn't. I was not here during that time. I've got as much information as I can on that, but that is a request of you to make.
Okay, questions from the board, starting on the left.
So how do you allocate utilities to the CCNR department?
That's a good question. I'll sit down with Christina and ask her specifically on that. I'll look back to Mark. I don't think so. Allocations are really interesting. A lot of times they're a swag. I'm just being blunt with you. Because it's hard to say what a facility is going to use. But a lot of times you take the total number, you take the total expense, divide that by the number of facilities, or you even do that by the number of departments.
I'll
find out for sure.
Yeah. Likewise, how do you allocate the director compensation?
We look at that at the number of meetings. So this one specifically, that one's easy. We'll look at the number of meetings are projected to have. We know the number of directors, and we multiply that by the stipend. And then we look at who is waiving that stipend, and we'll adjust it based on that.
Okay, and then that's all I have.
Okay, Sid?
No.
Tim?
Monique took care of me. The allocation? it's ridiculous. So
yeah,
that number
it kind of is.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't stay. Pass this thing down.
Okay, do you have any questions?
Not that it would be any.
Yeah, so I was just curious, does this budget exceed our CCNR revenue?
Yeah. I'll look back to Mark on that one. That's one again I think we can look into it.
Yeah.
You mean our final, our current fund balance, or do you mean revenue?
I'm not looking at it.
Our budget amount, is that what you're asking?
Yes, what we're budgeting, does it exceed?
Well, we're 30,000.
Yes.
And yes, it does. Okay, I thought it did. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So my other question would be, it sure would be nice to have a current fund balance for CC&R so we could say, and we have $24,000 we could pull out of there. So I'm pretty sure we do, but
okay.
It'd be nice to have a final number.
Okay, taking it out to the public. Any questions? Okay, we have no questions from the public, and this one involves approving a resolution. So, any discussion, or do we have a motion?
I move to approve resolution 25-08. Adopting a fiscal year 24-25 CC&R fund mid-year budget adjustment.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
All right. And roll call vote.
Roll call vote.
Director Scobie?
Aye.
Director Wilson?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Sorry, Director Bizet, just throwing you off a little bit. Director Gilchrist, making sure you're awake.
Okay.
I voice you too.
Motion passes 5-5. Is there something you want to tell us?
Yeah, I wasn't even going to go there.
Motion passes 5-0. Okay, so we are on item number 23, review and approve updated board and standing committee dates.
So basically, we asked to go back to staff for, sorry, I can't even see my boss here, to kind of look at where there was conflicts with holidays and whatnot. So the highlighted items on there were suggestions, and I talked to Mo about, you know, just kind of making sure that we could fit in the really important ones. So there's one where the BNA meeting would be in place of the fire meeting. I don't have that in front of me because I keep swapping seats, but
well, there's one highlighted in July and one highlighted in September and one highlighted in October.
Let's see. I believe it was the October meeting would be in place of the fire meeting. But otherwise, it was just to move the dates because they conflicted with a holiday.
So we did not, it appears that we don't have an October fire meeting then?
Correct.
So that'll be 4 months between fire meetings?
I guess I'll let you speak to that.
Yeah, and if we need to put a special meeting in there, we can certainly do that. We're just looking with the budget admin committee meetings, trying to reduce some of those conflicts. But clearly, if we need one, we can add a special meeting. Doesn't necessarily.
I would suggest we add one in.
And it's just also we need to make sure that there's time if anything needs to push forward from the committee to the board meeting. And so that's kind of where there's conflicts on some of the months. So BNA was the biggest one because that generally pushes a lot forward.
BNA is it's a tough one because you literally have a couple of days in between. And so the things that BNA, they want us to move forward, if there's any changes, there's not a lot of time in between.
I'm not suggesting you change the B of A schedule. I just don't. We're only meeting, 3 times this year if we went with this schedule, with fire.
Okay. We can schedule a special meeting at any time for that.
Right.
Or if you want to pick a date, we can certainly do that too.
We can talk about it in August.
Done. Check.
Okay. Any other board questions on this? Taking it out to the public. Any questions or public comment about the proposed schedule change?
No.
Okay, then bringing it back to the board, do we have a motion and or further discussion?
I will move that we approve the updated board and standing committee dates as provided.
I'll second that.
Okay, could we have a roll call? Do we need a roll call?
Roll call.
Yes, we do. Okay.
Okay. Director Gilchrist.
Aye.
So I'm just throwing you off. I apologize. Director Israel.
Aye.
Director Bazette.
Aye.
Director Wilson.
Aye.
Director Scopey.
Aye.
Sorry, it's almost the end of the meeting.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Okay, so that takes us. Do we have any comments or future agenda items from the board?
Nope. Well, I was just going to comment, the lady from the audience mentioned there was a great senior film that was sponsored by Marshall Hospital and a lot of agencies about a 100-year-old neurologist who was very, anyways, very inspiring, very fascinating, and he had like 60 million hits on YouTube, it just got, in all languages and cultures. It's kind of an amazing story, but a good attendance. And a lot of services that provide services to seniors were there in attendance. So it was a good event. And Tom, who is our IT guy, did a phenomenal job of adjusting lighting and sound. And we couldn't shut the power off, the lights off, yes. But it was the team of Mark and Mo managed with Tom to get the lights shut off. And then the sound, it was an internet person who had done the film. And then the video, and then bringing her back and talking. Anyway, a lot of IT stuff, and Tom was phenomenal, as were the other two guys that helped, backup guys. Yeah. Anyway,
nice.
But it's nice to see our facility using just rich resources in our community. It was really pretty awesome.
Okay, anything else from the board?
Got a couple for you.
Okay.
So really, I just want to give kudos to our team. I know a number of them have left tonight, but this past weekend was really a testament to the high caliber of employee that we have here. And so we had roughly 700 patrons here on Saturday, which requires a lot of setup. We now know exactly how many tables and chairs we have. Exactly. But having 700 people here at the same time really tested the facility. I know it tested all of our nerves for sure. But it takes a lot. It's not simply just opening. That's why I sent you guys a message. It's not simply just opening the door and letting people in.
Sure.
Somebody's got to plan for that. Somebody's got to put the tables and chairs out. And it was unique in that we have, you know, banquet hall, and that's typically where those are. Well, this event was so large, we had to move it to the gym because it's 6,000 square feet. It's much bigger. And that was different. So that took a lot, in addition to a swim team meet. We did everything we could to be prepped for that. We put new flags up. The pool was clean. We had the company come out. And at the last minute, we looked down, and there's a light hanging out of the wall. We called the pool company. There's nothing they can do. We called 4 or 5 emergency companies. There's nothing they can do. I pick up the phone and call our partners, Chief Richards, and he goes, I'll get a guy down. And they came down, they put their snorkel gear in, and they loved it because it was hot out there, dove in, fixed the light, tightened it up, tightened all the lights up. They were all loose in there.
Wow.
So that's just really a testament to the relationship that we had, because we were likely going to have to cancel that meet at the very last minute.
Wow.
And so then that night at about 9:30, we had a phone call from the swim coach, and the pool was sucking air, and the water was down 4 inches. And so they were freaking out. And so Clarissa, who was sick, came in. And we all came in doing that. Mark and I are here at 10 o'clock putting no parking signs out. And so I know this is a long story, but it's all to tell you that there was a lot going on. The very next day, there was a celebration of life. I think we had a couple hundred people at that one. And so it was enough to where we didn't have a place to put trash. So we had to bring in a trailer to take trash over to the lake. But there was a lot of usage here.
Oh,
so
God.
All of that, again, to be said that, hey, the facility's being used. Our team is second to none. The fire department never expected they would be pool repair folks, but they jumped in and didn't even think twice in
2 hours.
So I just want to thank them again. And then, you know, there's some things tonight in the meeting we like to be more prepared. We pride ourselves in being more prepared. We are working with one arm behind our back right now, and you all know those issues. And so I just want to highlight that. I owe a personal apology to everybody. That's not the way we do business. That's just the cards we were dealt at this board meeting. With that, I will stop there. Thank you guys for always coming to our meeting. Welcome, Brian. He's been a breath of fresh air. I can tell you that I've gotten more information to him on some of our critical items in one conversation. conversation that I had with the previous attorney. I really, really appreciate that. So.
Thank you. So before we adjourn to closed session, did we have any closed session public comments?
Just don't be your driver.
Thanks, Brad. I thought you were my driver.
Yeah, he and I are going to go find this group.
Don't engage yet. Let us do that.
All right. Well, it is 9:24.
Thanks, Dustin. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you.